Well, again, happy Palm Sunday. Hosanna, there you go, yeah. The kids took all of the energy out of you, I got it. We love this day because there's almost a sense in which Palm Sunday is, for pastors of all of the days around Easter and stuff, Palm Sunday is probably the least stressful because the kids do most of the work most of the time on Palm Sunday. Or Easter is exciting, but there's just a lot of stuff going on. But we love Palm Sunday. We love the excitement. We love the worship and the celebration. But we know that Palm Sunday is not, it's not just about waving palm branches and celebrating. It really is a turning point in this journey to the cross that we've been taking with Jesus. It's a moment where we really have to make a decision. Are we really ready to follow Jesus all the way? Because this road doesn't lead to immediate gratification and comfort. It leads to a cross. And for the past several weeks of Lent, we have been on this journey of surrender and trust and repentance and humility and sacrifice. Way back on Ash Wednesday, that first Sunday of Lent, we were invited to just examine what it was that we've been carrying in our lives, burdens, sins, struggles, cares, but we just really knew that this was something God was calling us to lay down, and invited you to write those down on a little sheet of paper, and those sheets of paper are long gone. And then we exchanged those for these little jars of ashes, and I got mine in my pocket to carry around with us as a reminder of a couple of things. One, that those things that we surrendered don't belong to us anymore. We've given those to God. But it's also a reminder that God is at work even in those difficult places, even in the ashes of our lives. God is still at work bringing beauty and new life. But our journey isn't over yet. Before we can trade our ashes for beauty, we have to walk the last leg of this journey through Holy Week and through the pain of Good Friday and the confusion of silence of Holy Saturday before we can get to the joy of resurrection. And Palm Sunday really confronts us with a difficult question. Are we willing to keep walking with Jesus even when the road gets difficult? Because the truth is, it's easy to do all of this and praise Jesus when everything's going well. It's easy to say Hosanna when it feels like Jesus has given us everything that we want, you know. But are we still going to follow him when things don't go the way that we expected? Because the people shouting Hosanna today in our story, they're going to be shouting something very different by the end of the week. Crucify him. Jesus wasn't the kind of king that they expected or even ended up wanting. And so the question is, do we stay committed to Jesus only when he fits into our expectations or when the journey is easy? Or are we going to trust that even in our pain, even in our disappointments and in our surrender, that God is bringing something beautiful? And so Palm Sunday is an invitation to walk with Jesus all the way to the cross, knowing that that's not the end of the road. This road doesn't end with death. It leads to new life. And so this morning, just for a brief time, I want to dive a little bit deeper into this story of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem and see what it teaches us about our own journey and road to beauty. So let's go back to that moment in Jerusalem. The streets are packed. This is one of the beginning of one of the biggest festival of the people of Israel, Passover. And so there's thousands, tens of thousands of Jews coming into the city. And they're already amped up for this festival, but this just seems to be a little bit more amped up because of who's coming into the city with them. Because they've heard all of the stories about this guy, that he's made blind people see. He's healed the sick. He's fed a huge crowd with just a few loaves and fishes. And he even raised a guy from the dead. And now he's coming into Jerusalem. And you can imagine that as they look at this man, this Jesus coming into the city, they have to start asking themselves, could this be what we've been looking for? I mean, they knew their scriptures. Because that's what they quote when they shout. They're quoting this prophecy that they know from Zechariah, where it says, "Rejoice, O people of Zion, shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious." So is this the moment? I mean, God's been silent for 400 years. Is he finally starting to speak? And that's just, I mean, really, in the course of history, that's a short span of time for them, because they've been longing for this for generations and centuries. Could this be the Messiah that they've waited, who's coming to free them from Roman opposition, from their corrupt rulers, free to be God's people again and God's chosen nation? And so they do the one thing that comes natural to them in this moment. They grab palm branches and they start waving and shouting, because it's a sign of victory and triumph. And they start shouting, "Hosanna," which literally means "save us." And there's a sense of urgency there. It means it's "save us now." They don't want him to have to go through this whole process. They're hoping that he's coming into the city to deliver them right now. But the heartbreaking reality of this moment is, yes, Jesus is coming into the city to set them free, but not in any way that they're expecting, because they miss the other half of that prophecy. Yes, Jesus is a king. Yes, he's coming. Yes, he's righteous and victorious. Yet, he's humble. Riding on a donkey's colt. If anybody caught the oddity of the scene of Jesus riding on a donkey, they didn't mention it. Because typically kings are supposed to ride into the city on war horses with chariots and with an army. Jesus is coming into the city on a pack animal. And one that's not even been a donkey's colt. One that's not even been trained to do work yet. Donkeys were a sign of humility. This king was different. They thought Jesus was coming into Jerusalem to take a throne. He was coming into Jerusalem to take a cross. They thought he was coming to overthrow Rome, but he was coming to overthrow sin and death. They expected a revolution, and they would get one. But it wouldn't be the revolution they were expecting. It would be a revolution of redemption. And because Jesus didn't fit into their expectations, those praises on Sunday are going to turn into anger by Friday. Why? Because Jesus wasn't the kind of king they wanted. He didn't march into Jerusalem with an army. He came in humility. He didn't go straight to Herod's palace. He went to the temple, and he didn't even go to the temple to worship or to offer sacrifices. He went to cleanse it. I don't know that I can tell you how bold a moment that was. That might have been the boldest act that Jesus ever did in his ministry, was cleansing the temple. He didn't come to set up a government. He came to set up the way to salvation. They had these misplaced expectations of Jesus, and when he didn't meet those expectations, they turned on him. Now, before we judge them too harshly, kind of like we do to the disciples every once in a while, we'll tell the stories of the disciples, and we're like, well, I would have never done that. Well, that's what Peter said. Let's just stop and ask ourselves, if we were in the same boat, where would we have been by the end of that week? How often do we have expectations of Jesus that aren't really reflective of who he really is? It's easy to worship Jesus when he's answering our prayers the way we want him to, when life is going well, when our finances are stable, when our relationships are strong, when we can see his hand working and it's working in ways that we can understand. But what about when the opposite happens, when things aren't going so well? And he's not answering our prayers the way that we'd like. When life gets, when following Jesus means sacrifice instead of comfort, do we still worship him then, or are we like the crowd in Jerusalem? We start doubting, and then we start questioning, and then we kind of just pull away. Here's the truth of Palm Sunday. Jesus isn't a king who came to serve our personal agendas. He is the king who calls us to surrender our agenda to his. And sometimes that means the journey he calls us to is going to be harder than we expected. We have to walk through Good Friday to get to Easter Sunday. Sometimes we have to trust God in the dark before we get to see the light. Sometimes the beauty that we're waiting for has to be formed in the fire of surrender. That's what this journey has been about. When we surrendered those ashes to God on Ash Wednesday, we surrendered those things on Ash Wednesday and received our ashes, we were saying, Jesus, I trust you. And not just when it's easy, even when it's hard. And Palm Sunday challenges us to hold on to that trust, not to walk away when things don't go as we plan, not to demand that Jesus fit into our expectations, but to surrender to him fully, believing that his way is always better than ours. Because here's the good news. God's plan is always greater than our expectations. The people of Jerusalem wanted Jesus to bring a certain type of freedom, a political freedom. They wanted that he came to bring eternal salvation. They wanted, even if it was a temporary victory over Rome, they wanted Jesus to bring that. Jesus was coming to bring a permanent victory over sin and death. They wanted him to establish a throne on earth, and Jesus was bringing a kingdom that would never end. And today, he's still calling us to trust that his ways are higher than ours. So let me ask you, what expectations have you placed on Jesus? And this next question is difficult, and I want to encourage you to be honest with God because he knows the answer to this anyway. Have you ever been disappointed with God because he didn't do what you wanted him to do? Are you willing to trust him even when the road to transformation leads through some difficulty and suffering first? Because here's what I know. I don't know a lot of things, but I know this. That the beauty that God is bringing from your ashes may not look like what you expect, but it will be better than anything you can imagine. Jesus is a king, but he's a king that leads us through a cross before we get to resurrection. And the thing that I'm thankful about with that is he doesn't send us to the cross. He went first. We don't go alone. As the crowd in Jerusalem shouted, Hosanna, Jesus could have in that moment, very similar to what he experienced at the beginning of this journey in the wilderness, he could have just soaked in that praise. He could have said, you know what, this is the moment. I could take the reins right here. He could have paused as he entered the city and just let it wash over him, but he didn't. Instead, he wept. Luke 19:41-42 says, but as he came closer to Jerusalem and saw the city ahead, he began to weep. How I wish today that you of all people would understand the way to peace, but now it's too late, and peace is hidden from your eyes. Jesus, he could see beyond the moment. He could see beyond the excitement. He knew that the people wanted a king, but they wanted a king on their own terms. And when he didn't fit into their expectations, he knew what was going to happen to him. This wasn't an accidental thing. He knew that this was the plan all along. He knew the religious leaders were already plotting his death. He knew where this road to Jerusalem was leading. It led to rejection, to suffering, and ultimately the cross, and yet he kept walking. I have never been pregnant, and therefore I'm very careful when I try to speak on the, but I am married to a woman who's been pregnant a few times, so I'm at least an armchair expert in pregnancy. One of the things about pregnancy is that it does sometimes involve discomfort, in suffering, in pain. But I will say that at least in pregnancy, as you get closer, there's some tangible evidence that something good is coming, right? How many of us are willing to follow Jesus even when we can't see what's on the other side of the hill, when there's no tangible evidence that there's beauty on the other side of those ashes? I think most of us, if we would have been in the situation that Jesus was in, I would have hopped off the donkey and ran the other way. It was the old saying, he who runs away lives to run away another day. It's my mantra. If we knew that suffering was at the end of the road, but couldn't see the tangible evidence that there was life on the other side of that, we would probably stop. If we knew that the very people who are praising us today would abandon us tomorrow, we would find a new set of friends. But Jesus didn't. He didn't turn around. He didn't avoid the pain. He embraced. I love the statement that takes place a little bit before this, that Jesus set himself resolutely toward Jerusalem. He wasn't going anywhere else. He knew where he had to go, because he knew that it was the only way to bring salvation. Jesus' willingness to walk this road is the ultimate picture of surrender. In the Garden of Gethsemane, just a few days later, we see him praying in agony, "Father," he said, "if you wish it, please take..." Man, can we relate to that? "God, if this is your will, take this, but it must be your will, not mine." That's what true surrender looks like. It's saying, "Not my will, but yours be done," even when it feels like it's going to cost us everything. And this is where Palm Sunday meets us today, because many of us have surrendered things to God over the past few weeks. We've laid down burdens. We've laid down sins and struggles. We've surrendered our ashes, trusting that God is working even in our brokenness. But we know that has not been a one-time. We've had to make a daily decision to stay surrendered on this journey. Surrender isn't a one-time decision. It is a lifelong journey. And sometimes the road through that leads to pain before we get to see the results of the promise. It feels like we're being led towards suffering before victory. It feels like we're facing the cross before resurrection, because we are. Some of us are in that place right now. We've trusted God with our ashes, but we haven't seen. We're like, where's the beauty? We've given something over to God, but the weight of that, it's like a phantom limb. It's haunting us. We still feel the weight of that. We're walking the road of transformation, but it is harder than we ever expected. Let me encourage you today. if there is anyone who has ever known the weight of that experience, it's Jesus. He knows what it's like to walk towards suffering, to feel the weight of sacrifice, loss, uncertainty. And he doesn't just call us to walk that road. He walks it with us. If you feel the weight of uncertainty, Jesus felt it too. If you are struggling with surrender, Jesus struggled in the garden. Father, if there is any other way to do this, I'm all ears. But I know there's not. I know this is what it has to be your will. If you feel abandoned or unseen, man, Jesus knows that personally. And yet, he kept walking. He surrendered fully to his Father, not because it was easy, but because it was necessary and he knew it was worth it. I want you to think back to what you surrendered to God at the beginning of this journey. What burdens, what wounds, what fears or sins did you bring to God? What ashes are you still carrying, waiting for God to transform them? Right now, you might still be waiting. You might not see the beauty yet. You may still feel the weight of the process. But here's the thing. God is at work. 400 years of silence. God was at work. 3 days of darkness. To say God was at work in that moment doesn't seem to do it justice. Even when we don't see it, he's moving. Even when we don't understand, he's restoring. Even when we don't feel, or even when we feel like we're in the darkness of Good Friday, he's preparing resurrection. The ashes aren't the end of your story. Beauty is coming. He's still turning mourning into joy. He's still replacing despair with hope. He's still bringing beauty from the ashes. The beauty is coming. And when resurrection comes, we will see Jesus has been working all along. And so my encouragement to you this week, don't rush. Don't be in a hurry. Those uncomfortable moments that where we feel like I just got to fill this with some sort of distraction, press on with Jesus. Because the cross isn't the end of the story. Beauty, new life, resurrection is coming. Amen. Would you pray with me?